I had to try to figure out what I didn't know.
Very good questions.
I think we're good there.
You got us on.
So really kind of, we now that my mom is in Hilltop Haven and the Medicaid thing is facing us soon, we needed to follow up on that and thought we'd take the opportunity to clarify in our own minds some other things too about the estate in general and specifics of Medicaid and anything else that we need to be aware of. So that's kind of the impetus for the meeting. Paul?
Yeah, and the number one thing, as I said in the email, which I assume you got, but anyways, is to go ahead with the Ladybird, if that's the right instrument to do now.
Yes.
That's, I think, the number one priority, and then there's all these other questions.
Well, the bigger, the umbrella thing is the structure of the assets in the estate, and then all the Medicaid questions. So however you think it makes sense to talk about that.
I need to ask you guys some questions just to bring me up to speed on what has occurred in the last year or two, you know, since we last met. So, I noticed on your information sheet, there's an IRA. I didn't have that in my notes before. Whose IRA is it? Yours?
Mine.
Okay, it's Paul's IRA. I need to know that.
Actually, Craig, there's two or three little accounts like that that I understood. You said you ought to close them out, you know.
Right.
Some of them I haven't done.
Well, I just need to know whose IRA it is, and we can work with it. We can work with it. Now, the other question I had was, were any of the assets ever transferred? Are they still, okay? And I need to know the dates. Were they?
Those assets were transferred. I went back and looked, and I believe, and I haven't checked with Alan, but I think it was on the 7th of February, 2006.
It was in February, I know that.
Well,
that book show that? Did I have the?
I don't know what your book shows, Danny.
Well, you know, you said it.
I know, but I don't know. I don't know whether it shows it or not.
I guess it would be important to look at the statements, somewhere. You don't
have
to.
That's what I would. They're out in the car.
If you want to go get them, we sure can. If you want, we can just keep talking and we can kind of look at it later. But rather than kind of leafing through everything now, but the actual date of the transfers on the statements are going to be really, really crucial in this instance. So, now, the only transfer, another question from my end, the only transfers we ever did with the Petersburg land, as I understand it, was these we transferred the remainder interest to you all, but Paul and Rose kept a life estate for both the surface rights and the mineral rights.
Petersburg?
That's the family land.
The deed retaining life estate, that document?
Right. And that's the only transfer that was there. That's a better way to answer the question. That's the only transfer that was ever done was that deed, those
deeds.
Well,
see, that's what I didn't even understand that was a transfer. That was part of my question.
Okay, I can explain that to you. And there was an element of transfer in there, and there was an element of Paul and Rose retaining the use of life. So, yes. Okay.
So in effect, who owns that property now?
Well, you guys own an interest in it, and Paul and Rose do. Let me explain.
Go through that and who's liable for taxes, because I completely didn't remember that at all.
Okay, well, I'm going to begin by trying to give you the definition of that, and then I'm going to also try to give you an example to sort of help you understand and illustrate a little bit, maybe an illustration. But what a life estate deed is it deeds the remainder interest to the grantees, you two, and retains the right to use the property for the rest of the grantor's life. So Paul and Rose retained the right to use and enjoy the benefits and the income from that property, live on it for the rest of their life. But at the instant of their death, without any probate or anything, the property passes to the grantees just like that, instantly. So, and so there was an element of a gift transfer when they signed that deed. That element can be calculated using some actuarial tables that are published. And just to kind of help you understand, the way those actuarial tables are developed It's based on the grantor's statistical life expectancy, you know, that element of probability, and also the time value of money. Because, you know, a dollar today is not worth as much as a dollar we're going to receive in the future, okay? So they combine those. The way these tables are developed is real complicated calculations combining those two elements. And so it turns out that, and I don't have that memorized, of course, but they're, so when they make a gift to you of the remainder interest in a property and they keep the right to use it for the rest of their life, then there is an element of gift to y'all. There is a permanent element, a permanent transfer of somebody. So if y'all were to sell that property now, then all three of you would have to sign the deed, okay? Mm-hmm. And you'd have to sign as Rose's power of attorney or whatever, okay? So mm-hmm. because you own an interest in it, and so do Paul and Rose. Now, mm-hmm. let me give you an example. And just to kind of help you realize that real estate is a bundle of rights. And so by analogy, think about the very example of a piece of surface right or a property where one person owns the surface rights, can graze their cattle, build houses on it, whatever. Another person owns the minerals. So we have one piece of property, but two people have valuable interests in that property. Well, a life estate is a different way to divide up the real estate bundle of rights. And so, give you a real oversimplified example. Let's say we have a house worth $100,000, and let's say that the person that owns it is 80 years old, and they want to give the remainder interest to their kids and keep the right to live there the rest of their life. And my last oversimplified assumption is that that person's life expectancy is exactly 100 years, okay? They're going to, statistical probability there, we're going to say they're going to live 100 years, be 100 years old. Well, the way we might calculate, again, way oversimplified, the value of that gift to the remainder interest is to say, look, the grantor has lived 80% of their life. They're 80, they're going to live to be 100, lived 80% of their life. They only got 20% left. So, again, extremely oversimplified. They are making an $80,000 gift, okay, and they're keeping $20,000 worth of it. So next year, automatically, our grantor is 81 now. He's only going to live 19 more years if we had to value the life estate at that point. If everybody's going to sell it, and we're trying to get a title company trying to figure out who to write checks to, you know, our table is much more complicated, and it's not 19% at all. It's way more than that. But if it was, they'd write a $19,000 check to our grantor, the parent, mm-hmm. seller, and an $81,000 check to the kids, you know, and if everybody's going to sell it. So it's not near, you know, I would guess that in my example that maybe an 80-year-old, they might still have 35 or 40% of the value of the property, okay? It's not what you might expect just thinking about it, but you know, we can figure all that out if we need to. But So when they deeded the Petersburg an element, you know, the Petersburg remainder interest to you, then you now own a pretty good percent of the value of the Petersburg property, okay, and the value of the Petersburg mineral interest. Is everybody now? When he'd get now, let's talk briefly about the tax. Excuse me, consequences. For federal tax purposes, that property stays in Paul and Rose's estate. If we were going to do a federal estate tax return, it would still be their property. So what that means is at the instant of their death, then we need to find out the market value of that property at that point, the total fair market value. That will be Linda and Paul Jr.'s new cost basis in the property. It's as if you bought it for mm-hmm. fair market value on date of death. Okay, so let's say that Petersburg land is worth $160,000 today, but it's going to be worth $200,000 whenever Paul and Rose pass away. Well, and whether I'm high or low, it doesn't matter, but just for example purposes. So if Paul and Rose had given you the entire interest, a general warranty deed, then whatever they paid for it, let's say they bought it longer, inherited it back when it was worth $100,000. You all, the donees, would inherit the donor's cost basis. So you'd have a, it would be as if you'd bought that property for $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now you sell it someday for $200,000 and you'd have $100,000 capital gain. By doing this life estate, you don't have those tax consequences. All right, so by doing the life estate, whenever Paul and Rose finally pass away, then it will be as if you bought the property right then. So whatever the fair market value of the property is at that point, that will be your cost basis. And if you sell it at that point for, again, for $200,000, and if the fair market value is $200,000 at date of death, then you have a sale price of $200,000 minus the cost basis of $200,000 equals zero capital gain and therefore zero tax. Now, so in other words, it's still their property. Now, because of that, they're still paying the property taxes. Okay, there hasn't been a sale or a new property tax deal, so they're still paying the property taxes. There's no, and you know, it's still their property as far as any sort of...
we get the income off of it.
Yeah, they're paying the income tax on that. So does that answer your question about the taxes at this point?
Yes, I have a couple other questions that popped up there. If one of them dies, the other still retains
That's right.
It's a life estate
for both.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
I want to ask a question. Would there be any advantage for me, if Rose dies first, for me to make a deal, just turn it to the kids then?
Well, there wouldn't really be any...
advantage?
No, there wouldn't really be any income tax advantage much. What we ought to think about at that point is what is the possibility that you end up in a nursing home someday and we have to worry about getting you qualified. There might be an advantage about conveying it to them at that point. Now, y'all just have to understand that any future appreciation that happens to that property for the rest of Paul's life, if he gives it to you, is going to be your responsibility. You know, the basis step-up deal is over at that point because he gave you the rest of the interest.
Right.
So, now, wait a minute. This property, I misspoke just a minute ago, this property was Rose's property, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, but Rose has given the remainder interest to you guys, okay?
The kids.
Yes, right. Linda and Paul Jr. Okay, so when Rose dies, the rest of that, you know, then it becomes y'all's property. All right?
So it skips Daddy completely. Then.
Well, that's the way.
Yeah.
Well, that was the way the surface rights were done.
We did not go into it, but we paid the remainder of the what Popo had borrowed to buy that place. The kids, the three...
Mama's generation.
Yeah.
That would mostly be important if y'all ever sold it, but...
Yeah, well, you know, I just simply leave that off, you know, that part. That.
Well, you don't pay any property taxes now. Tom does all that and then bills it back,
well,
or
what? Well, we pay a third.
But, okay. You did.
That's
okay.
In the expense. That's
okay.
In his.
Okay. He counts for that. That's what I mean. You don't have to do it. He does it, but he expenses.
He does it all
yeah,
and
it.
Sends us a finished statement of the income off of that place.
So is Daddy...
So it's not going to be in Daddy's name when Rose passes away.
Right.
But here's a benefit of that for Medicaid planning purposes is that now Daddy didn't have to make a gift.
Exactly.
If he deeds more to you, it's automatically yours with no penalty period.
Right.
Okay.
Question. Just, I'm pretty sure this answer, but there was no tax consequence. Will there be a tax consequence when it passes to us, income tax wise or estate wise?
Okay. When they deeded it to you, that was a gift. It's like a Christmas present. It's not income, so you never earned it. So it's not income taxable.
Right.
And whenever they pass away, that's the same concept. Okay. Now, if they had a taxable estate and the estate tax applicable exemption this year is $2 million per person. So if Rose dies with an estate of two of her half a community and her separate property is worth over $2 million, then she'd have estate tax. Anybody that has less than that doesn't have any estate tax. Same now, that $2 million number is only good up until January 1st of 2009. What, that's 3.5 months from now. At that point, the applicable exemption amount per person goes up to $3.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody who dies with less than $3.5 million has no estate tax. Now there's a kind of a related rule about gift taxes, and basically if you give away property more than $12,000 at any one time. So in February of 06, when y'all gave away, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of property or whatever, the first $12,000 of it was sort of free, and I don't remember, the amount might have been $11,000 in those days. It's indexed up to $12,000 this year. Whatever it was is what it was. Any amount above that would be, quote, a taxable gift. However, there is another rule that says you can give away up to $1 million per person in total during your life and not pay any gift tax. But if you do give away the whole million, that comes off of your $2 million estate tax applicable exemption amount. But I hope you're seeing that as long as our total net worth of Paul and Rose is under $2 million, and it always has been, and even with a lot of appreciation, it probably will be, they won't have to file an estate tax return or pay any estate tax.
Unless when this thing goes away in, what is it, 2011, if they don't up that again.
Thank you for reminding me about that. The current law is that it is supposed to, it doesn't matter how much you have, you could be Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or Sam Walton and die in 2010 and supposedly pay no estate tax. And then in 2011, the estate tax comes back and the applicable exemption amount is only $1 million.
Right.
But again, that'd be $1 million for Paul and $1 million for Rose, and
right.
You know, and so right. We're probably not gonna get there. However, everybody expects the government to not allow people dying in 2010 to avoid estate tax, and nobody expects it the estate tax to come back with the applicable exemption amount at only $1 million in 2011. What pretty much everybody expects. McCain if I understand it, his position is he is politicking on the idea of keeping the Bush tax cuts. Obama is campaigning on the idea of freezing the applicable exemption amount at $3.5 million per person. Congress had a chance to say that they're or do something, some sort of a compromise back before the Republicans lost both houses, so before 06, and it failed. And they even had a big carrot with it to approve an increased minimum wage, which the Democrats should have liked. It was a big compromise. It still failed. So the thinking is that it appears that the estate tax applicable exemption amount will be about $3.5 million, and that sometime in 2009 they will make that permanent. Nobody expects the state taxes to go away in 2010, and nobody expects them to come back at $1 million in 2011. Could happen. Could be worse. Could be better. Currently, people think it's going to stabilize at $3.5 million.
Okay.
But I don't think, from everything I'm seeing and hearing, that we have an estate or a gift tax problem to worry
right.
about here.
No.
Right.
No.
And there are no state taxes.
States.
Currently, Texas does not have an inheritance tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so right. that could change too, but
sure.
currently, you know, we don't expect, I'm not hearing anything being discussed about it, and, you know, the Republicans are supposed to be anti-tax people, and they're in charge of the state, you know, Senate and House and the governorship. You know, anything's possible, but I'm not hearing rumors about bringing back the inheritance tax.
I have a couple questions here. So the gift component of this Petersburg life estate deed, does that get reported to the federal government, and how?
Okay, the technical requirement when you make a large gift or a gift of over $12,000 per person per year is to file a gift tax return. there are a number of people who think that when you're dealing with a gift of where the total net worth is way below $1 million, let alone $2 million, and the IRS has not and is not currently auditing such gift tax returns because there's nothing in it for them. They're not going to get any more tax. We got hundreds of thousands to go before we'd ever get to any tax. So right. They're business people. They're only going to audit things where they think they might get more revenue. That's not it.
Nobody's tracking that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Got it.
So, I personally don't, you know, encourage people to run out and file a gift tax return when you have a small estate.
Okay.
If you go talk to a CPA, he'll typically say, "Oh yeah, you got to file a gift tax return," and he'll earn a fee for the gift tax return. But
it's
I know
an easy
a lot
form.
Of lawyers that don't, you know, run out and go file a gift tax return when they make gifts out of estates that are way under $1 million.
That's the I think you're talking about the form 709 gift tax
right.
return thing. Okay, so that brings the second question, which is
the sheet.
No, I know that, but I've got another question. What that means is that this Petersburg Life State was a transfer, which means the transfer date that was in March of 2007. So that means the Medicaid qualification is now 3 years from that date. Is that correct?
Well, you're on the right track, but the law changed, and this is. You may remember, I was looking back in my notes preparing for the meeting, that I think y'all came in to see me on February 3rd, 2006.
Right.
Well, at the time, there were all these negotiations in Congress going on, really toward the end of 2005 and into early 2006, about a big bill reforming the Medicaid statutes. It actually came down where us public folks found out about it later, but they dated everything February 6th of 2006. Now, all transfers that were made before February 6th of 2006 had a three-year, you know, maximum penalty period, and that penalty period of that disqualification or look-back period started, this is very critical, on the date of the transfer. So the date the gift was made, that started the clock ticking. They changed that with this big February 2006 law. The maximum penalty period now is 5 years.
We knew that.
And this part is bad. The clock does not start ticking until the person applies for Medicaid. It doesn't start ticking when you make the gift. Okay? Everything after February 6, 06, the clock starts ticking when the application is filed. Unless you did it 5 years before the application was filed, and then you don't have to tell them about it. You only have to tell about, on the application, about gifts made within 5 years before the application date. Gifts made after 5 years, you know, or how do you say that right? Gifts made more than 5 years before the date you apply for Medicaid don't have to be reported, so there's supposedly no penalty period. So in this case, if in fact, so your question. Any gift made in March of 07 or whenever, let's call it live, you know, it is a gift that we will have to deal with as far as there may be ways around it, okay, or to get the best possible treatment under the rules. If you guys suspicion that your gifts actually got dated February 7th of 06, you know, that's going to be a sad case, and we'll have to, but, you know, we're one day over the limit. What
well,
can you
see,
say?
Here's my memory of what happened. We met with you on the 3rd, really kind of walking away to think about this.
Uh-huh.
And as I recall, you called Daddy and said, Bush is going to sign this on Wednesday the 8th. This paperwork has to be done. These transfers have to be done before he signs it on the 8th, which is why it was done on the 7th.
Well, I mean, it was...
But now you found out that wasn't accurate. It wasn't the 8th. It wasn't when he signed it.
I mean, my recollection is that I was hearing it was going to be on the 6th. It had been sort of, I think they initially, you know, it had just been a day-by-day deal, but we were, and so I called everybody that I had work going on for, but the problem is that it takes financial institutions a day or so to do that. And I wouldn't be surprised if I was calling him on the 6th or the 5th and it just wasn't humanly possible to get it done.
I don't know. Well, maybe I'm wrong about the date, too.
Well, I don't know
yeah,
either.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
All I could add to that now and is, you know, we had a delay on getting some information on the Petersburg property about the oil royalty. We couldn't...
No, I'm talking about the other one.
Yeah,
well, I
want to
get this in.
Yeah.
I want to get this in. It took some time. But now, Diane told me, I came in and you had figured a way to write that up as they said, you know, Rose and I said that we owned half the minerals or whatever. We didn't know how much. Diane said that doesn't make any difference. We've done the timeline. And anyway, it took more and more time to get that. And it showed 70 years and there's not a word said about oil royalty. Because back then, sometimes, most of the time, when the landowner sold, he thought the oil royalty went with it. So,
are we finished with that topic?
Sure.
One second. I want